Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the ministry of your word. Thank you for your spirit that gives us clarity. Thank you for understanding that is mighty in the atmosphere. Thank you because our hearts are open to receive. Thank you for corrections, illustrations, alignments, and persuasions. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Matthew and chapter 20, we'll continue looking at walking in the supernatural. And like we've consistently said, the sequence of teachings that we take in the local assembly has a lot to do with the leading of the Spirit. The two most important things in the local assembly is the Word and the Spirit. And the two of them agree. That means while the Word can be taught from any section, any portion of the Scriptures, the help of the Spirit is to focus your attention on what to emphasize per time. That's one of the reasons why we pray in the local assembly. So we pray because the leading of the Spirit will highlight which aspect of the word should be emphasized per time. Every aspect of the word of God is good. See, every aspect of God's word is good. It's profitable. That means it will bring me profit. All right, so Matthew 28. So we were looking at the last words of Jesus, well, in his earthly ministry when he rose from the dead. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's what authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you've been following a series of teachings before. You'll find out that there is no other part of the scripture where you find a particular phrase used. So it was permitted by the translators. But really, there's nowhere where we are asked to be baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. There's no such scripture anywhere else. So it was a translation issue, really. Then teaching them to observe all things. So I said, when you're reading the scriptures, don't depart from the context. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call them the synoptic gospels. That means four different writers speaking about the same truths, emphasizing different areas, using their own language. Let me say that again. Four different writers speaking the same truths, emphasizing different areas. They are saying the same thing, but they are using different kinds of language. Amen? Don't forget that. So when you read Matthew 28, 18 to 20, don't think it is separate from Mark chapter 16, 15 downwards. It's not. The instruction is the same, but the language used to communicate is different. So what you see Matthew recording here is exactly the same thing Jesus told them in Mark chapter 16, from verse 15 downwards. The same thing. Matthew says, teaching them to observe all things. Go into all the world, or go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's Matthew's language. Mark's language, go into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. He that believeth and is what? Baptized. So when you are preaching gospel, what are you preaching? Whatever you preach is what men will be baptized into. Let me say it again. Whatever you preach is what men ought to be baptized into. So before they went to preach, they had a teacher. The teacher taught them for 40 days. So they will know what to preach. So we don't just say, go and preach the gospel. Do you know the gospel? That's the question. Do you know what the gospel is? So when he was telling them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, what do you believe? What was preached? What was preached? What he taught them. How did Matthew say it? Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So what Matthew calls a command, Jesus says, the gospel, the instructions I give you, which is before he went to the cross, he explained to them what he was about to accomplish. Tell them the eternal perspective of what it means to be saved. I didn't ask you to go preach that once they come into Christ, they will make money. That's not the gospel. Because people have made money without Christ. And they are still making money without Christ. So that can't be the gospel. There is no equality when it comes to material and financial riches. But there's an equality that comes when you have the riches of Christ. That's not what he told them to go and do. I didn't ask you to go tell them that once they believe, they will no longer have troubles. No. In this world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. That was what they didn't have before. They were having trouble before Jesus came. They continue having trouble. But the difference is, I have overcome the world. So, you need to understand, the writers are saying the same thing. Part of Bible study is you study what language did Mark use. Don't think he's saying something different from what Matthew said. They are saying the same thing. They're saying exactly the same thing. Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. And verse 44. Luke is saying the same thing also. See what it says. He said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you. So now, if I were you as a student of scriptures, I want to know what words did he say to them while he was yet with them. This is Luke giving his own synopsis. A synopsis is a summary. The person that explained the most or the best the word Jesus said was John the Beloved. So when I read what Luke said there, and I will go over to John, and I will start reading mostly from chapter 13, even though the talk begins from chapter 13. For concise reading, I will begin from chapter 14 to find out what are the things he told them. Because look at the instruction. These are the words I speak to you while I was there to you, that all things must be fulfilled. So whatever he told them, he got from the Holy Scriptures as promises. So he explained the promises and told them how they were fulfilled in the Gospels. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? How they be fulfilled in the Gospels. He explained how they be fulfilled. So for instance, John's Gospel chapter 14 verse 1. You believe in God. That is, you believe in the utterance of the Old Testament prophets. Now I'm asking you to believe also in me. Or if you really believe God based on the utterance of the prophets, the proof that you believe God is that you believe in me as a fulfillment of all that God said he would do. In my Father's house. So he switched from God to Father immediately. Whatever God wants to do has to do with fatherhood. Praise God. Are you with me this morning? Because it's important, because what we're teaching when it comes to walking in the supernatural, Pastor Lou said something this morning. Is your spouse a saint only in church? Or your spouse is a saint on the road? Your spouse is a saint in the evening when you're watching TV. Your spouse is a saint in the bed. Is your spouse really a saint by constitution? Or is it a saint when it's convenient? Can you get people filled with Holy Ghost while you're eating ever? Can spaghetti stop the flow of the Spirit? Hallelujah. Someone, let me start talking about food. Brethren here, we're having visions. But like if you did this morning. In other words, there's a consciousness that the teaching of God's word brings to you so you can be aware of your identity. Your identity is not a function of circumstances. It's an eternal reality. It's a consciousness that you need to have. Jesus, in trying to explain, said, in my Father's house, that's what household, family, there are many mansions. He's speaking spiritual language. If it were not so, I would have told you. What is he explaining? You believe in God. This is what God was trying to say to you through the mouth of the prophets. That God has family in mind. And there's room in God's household for many to become members. The difference between a natural household and God's household is that when you want to become a member of God's household, God will have to be living in you. You don't become a family member by thumbprinting. No. You don't become a family member simply by, okay, you gave birth to a child, your DNA is in the child, but when God gives birth, God's DNA is himself. He lives inside you, which is proof that you are his son by his spirit. So in my Father's house, there's room for many to become members as I am a member of that family. If we're not so, I wouldn't have told you. Now, I go to make that a reality. I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, hallelujah, there you may be also. That was what was promised to Abraham. Why is Jesus restating it? As the time of the fulfillment of the promise of the covenant comes near, there's greater clarity with respect to God's plan and purpose. Let me say it again. As the time of the promise, what was spoken as a mystery gets clearer and becomes much more plain. So he's telling them, they've been with him for a while. They know he's the Son of God. In their limited understanding. Now, in my Father's, I've been calling him Father. None of you have been able to call him Father. The time is coming. Where I am, or as I call him Father, you will call him Father. You will not be afraid that you will pray to walk. Because whosoever has seen me, he has seen the Father. Hallelujah. So, when Jesus was telling them, teaching them to observe all things, that is crucial. Everything I told you that God said he would do, which I have now done. Now you go and teach them as something already done. So when they are coming in, whosoever believeth and is baptized, let them know this is what they are believing. This is what they have stepped into. Let me say it again. When I got saved, we got saved or we were scared out of hell into heaven. Most of the programs we went, Burning Hell was a movie that was shown. You were never secure in your salvation. You had to hold on to your salvation. You had to work for your salvation. Even though you didn't work for when it was done. Now that you have gotten it, you are now working for it. Okay? So you were afraid that you could lose it at any time, as well as a piece of paper or a key that it can be lost. Because there was no teaching about righteousness. So, and that affects your Christian world, because what were you baptized into? That's the question. What did you believe? What do you think what you received is all about? So I showed us last week, when the Bible says, and all these things are of God, none is of you. Because there's a variable about you that can't be found in God. So God's consistency is meant to stabilize you. I'm the Lord. I change not. I don't go on vacations. I don't get upset and forget my responsibility. I don't change my mind because you misbehaved. I don't depart from you because you didn't pray. No. I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say. That means your present tense eternal confession will be consistent. It won't change. Why? Because I won't leave and I won't forsake. So I won't leave, I won't forsake is on the backside of what I have done will make it impossible for me to leave or to forsake, so that you can always say. So when you mess up, you'll still be able to say. When you misbehave, you'll still be able to say. When you are stuck, you'll still be able to say. When you have prayed, you will say. When you have not prayed, you can still say, the Lord is. Not the Lord may be. The Lord is my helper. Therefore, I will know what? I will not be afraid. See, I will not be afraid. See, I will not be afraid. See, I will never be afraid. One more day in my life is with me as a mighty one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the purpose. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he spent 40 days refreshing their understanding about the things he commanded them. So the commandments are not, you know, thou shalt not. No. The commandments were instructions in righteousness. This is who you are. This is what you are capable of. This is what God said. This is what God has done. This is the reality of what was spoken. You are the living proof that Yahweh has been faithful. That's what he spent 40 days. Why? It's a complete dismantling of the previous mindset of the law. There had to be a complete dismantling of the mindset of the law. Abraham never had the law mindset. Isaac never had. Noah never had. Jacob never had. Joseph never had. All they knew was a faithful God who introduced himself without being asked to, and came on the scene to bless, and to bless only, with promises all the way that only he can fulfill. That's the crux of the gospel. It is from there that the believer finds his strength. All my works and my conduct today are based on what he has done. So even living right is not of myself, it's of him. Hallelujah. Are you Matthew 28? Go back to Matthew 28. I've taken you to how many passages now? Hallelujah. Just be praying for me. Amen. All right, so verse 20. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo. So again, he's standing in front of them, and then he wants them to catch a spiritual reality. He is standing in front of them. He's been teaching. Now, again, look, we now tell you, these statements I summarized here is 40 days of teaching. Look, we tell you that. But Matthew won't tell you that. So when you're reading Matthew's words, please don't think, Jesus will just have this conversation. So how are you now? So I was work yesterday. You ran away. Andrew, you ran away. James, you were hiding under your bed. James, I saw you. I saw you in the spirit. I saw you, but you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Don't worry. I've done the work. No. It's 40 days old. These are the people that will carry on the work. It's intense teaching. We don't know how many hours per day, but we know 40 days is a long time. For somebody's mind to be renewed, until your thinking is on the same page with God. Now, how do you know it takes time? Just look at yourself. I don't want to say look at your life, but look at yourself. Look at how long we have been teaching these things, and yet you are where you are. Hallelujah. So before you laugh at them, look at yourself. Whatever was taught to Peter, he stopped running. And he stopped denying. He became a rock. Persuasion settled. He now says, what I've done for you, go and do to others. Bring them into this fold. Guess what? When you are going, you are not going alone. The I am. Hallelujah. He is now with you. What I told Moses I would do, I have done. I exist now to be with you. That's what I told Moses. But in my existence now, it is in you and with you. Hallelujah. Do you understand so far? So when he says, whatsoever I've commanded, lo, that is look now, I am with you. And he's always, even unto the end. So when they heard the word I am personalized, they knew the one who spoke to Moses in Exodus 3 and 6 was speaking to them. They knew. Because of the way he used that phrase, I am, Yahweh, the I am that I am, so that I will be what I will be, is with you now. So when he says go, they knew they were not going alone. There was now an eternal abiding presence. Look at John chapter 14. Before we step over back to John 14, look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father. So we've examined the word pray. It doesn't mean to kneel down to pray conventionally. It means I will do what it takes. I will fulfill the requirements for the Father to give you the comforter. It has not the word pray in the normal everyday palace. It means I will do what it takes. What it takes is a demand. So I will do what it takes for the comforter to be with you forever. The word comforter means somebody to stand by. That is an abiding presence that doesn't shift ground. That means a source of help that is readily available and is available all the time. Whether you are awake or you are asleep, it's always available. I'll pray the Father. He will gift you. What does it mean to pray? Well, I will need to die. And after 3 days, I will rise up. And when I rise up, the condition will be fulfilled. The comforter will be with you. He will be in you. I'll pray the Father. I will not leave you without comfort. Because that was what was promised to Abraham. That was what Moses had. I am that I am. I will be with. That's future. I will be with. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Praise God. The I am. Look at verse 12. Or verse 14. Exodus 3 verse 14. Thank you. And God said to Moses. Moses was asking, who will I say that sent me? I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am. Has sent you. I am who I am. And who I am is a redeemer. But look at verse 12. See what it says in verse 12. And certainly he said, I will be with thee. Incidentally, the word be there is the same word I am. I will be. So now, when Moses was going to Pharaoh, God was saying, when you get to Pharaoh, I will enable you to talk. But he was also prophesying. The plan of I am is to be with. So the fullness of who I am will be seen when I'm where? With you. Say amen. So we said, the fullness of who God is, even though God is a self-existent one, God designed things such a way that you cannot see God in his fullness until he's with man. And he's operating through men. The fullness of God is seen, which is why the word became what? Flesh. And tabernacled among us. Then we beheld his glory. Pay attention. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So up till now, God had no only begotten. That is full representation of himself on the earth. Until the word took on flesh. Of course, the word also means the character and the nature of God put on flesh so that man can see how God really is. So there is the whisper about God, there's the rumor about God, then there's who God really is. Hallelujah. That's why, listen. Any attempt to interpret who God is outside of Christ. I know many of us still fall into that trap. Moses is not God. David is not God. Jeremiah is not God. Of course, Elijah is not God. That's why we don't sing, the God of Elijah send down fire. No. 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 The God of Elijah sends salvation. That's what he sends. The only begotten of Father, full of grace. Listen, and that grace is the truth. The grace is the truth. That means it is the effort of God for the benefit of man. That's who God is. He invites you into what he has prepared and what he has done. Whatever you are going to do must spring from what he has done. That's how God functions. He hasn't changed. That's so important. So, I will be with, was a prophecy. You will see me in my fullness when I'm now with you. We are together. As one. Genesis 17, I'm revisiting some things I've said again. I'm saying them again forever so that you understand where we're coming from and what the covenant is. Genesis 17, from verse 1. So we said that the background of Abraham was an idol worshiper. Now remember again, Abraham was not the first person to have a revelation of God. The writer of Genesis, which is Moses, used Abraham as a template to explain certain things about salvation that he couldn't use the others to explain. So there was Noah before Abraham. There was Abel before Abraham. There was Enoch before Abraham. There was Melchizedek before Abraham. But the writer, that's Moses, didn't use any of them to fully explain, because Abraham will be the one through whom the nation, or the semblance of a nation that God has in mind, will begin to emerge. So he used Abraham because Abraham seemed to fit in a bit more. Abraham is an idol worshiper. Abraham has reverence for deities, but he doesn't know the true God. And the true God comes to Abraham. So again, you were not looking for God. God was searching for you. That's the crux of salvation. So it wasn't Abraham looking for God. It was God who came looking for who? Abraham. Don't forget that. So chapter 13, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 17. Each time we see, and the Lord appeared to Abraham. Not that Abraham went to go and pray. Please don't forget this is the facts. It's important. Not that Abraham went to pray. It is the Lord who what? Appeared to Abraham. So it is of his own will. He initiated the meeting. So Genesis 17 now, look at the background. When Abraham was 99 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham, that's a vision, he's a prophet, and said, I, Almighty God, I, the Almighty God, that's the word Shaddai, not Shaddai, it's Shaddai, that's pronunciation. I, the self-sufficient one, I that has all that you will need and you will require, walk before me. Walk in light of everything I'm going to say to you, and I will perfect you. So did God know Abraham was a liar? Yes. He knew Abraham was a cheat? Yes. Did he know Abraham had weaknesses? Yes, he did. In chapter 15, he had come to Abraham, and again, without talking about Abraham's weakness, he said, look at chapter 15, verse 1. So I won't quote all the scriptures. Amen. After these things, what are these things? The war. Sarah, his wife, was taken by one of the kings. Two of them came out of that situation because Abraham lied. They went to war, rescued Lot. After all these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision saying, notice, fear not, Abraham, or have no fear. I am thy shield. Did you ask him to be your shield? Question. Did you ask him to be your shield? No. I am. He's now your shield. Notice the next thing. And your exceeding great reward. Is schooling Abraham about salvation. This is what we're going to partner to do. You'll be my partner. He hasn't told him the full import yet. In this same chapter 15, you read all the way down. He told him, because you have believed me. Verse 6, Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for what? Righteousness. Now, because you have believed me, I'm going to tell you, because it's to you and to your seed. Now, your physical seed will be in bondage for 400 years. You will be gone. You will live a good life. You'll be rest with your fathers. Because it's between you and me, even when you are gone, I remain faithful. I will continue to fulfill what I said to you by first rescuing your children from captivity. So you don't have to be there. I'm the guarantee of what I've said. Do you understand this morning? So your being alive is not required for me to fulfill what I said. I will still do it when you are no more. That's how faithful I am. So chapter 17 now. It makes more sense now. So walk before me and without perfect. Verse 2. And I will make my covenant. I initiate my covenant between me and thee. And I will what? Multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell in, and God talked with him saying, look at the emphasis again. As for me. Behold. So Abraham, I want you to see this revelation now. My covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be what? A father of many nations. Why couldn't God have said this to Abraham before Isaac came? Why was it at a time when it was impossible for him to have a child? Because God wanted to demonstrate some things to Abraham so that he will fulfill or he will be able to believe. Now let me say this and stop. Let me say something. Now notice, as for me, my covenant with you, this is me initiating. This is me bringing you to. Was this strange to Abraham? Yes, it was. Because I said again, men worship deities. They don't make treaties with deities. This was like an agreement, a partnership. You don't make a treaty with the deity because you are the weak, he is the strong. You go to him to worship him for protection, but now the strong comes to you that are weak. And he says, I want us to have a partnership. I will supply everything. Hallelujah. And in a covenant, normally, it is you do this, I do this. If you uphold your part, I will uphold my part. But God is telling Abraham, my covenant is with you. The next thing is, I will. So the question is, Abraham, what will you do? My own is just to believe. Praise God. My own is just to believe. I will do all the work. So in Genesis 22, when they were going up that mountain that we saw last week, and Isaac asked him, I see the wood, I see the fire. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? What did Abraham say? My son, God himself, my covenant partner, will supply the lamb for burnt offering. Do you need the sacrifice? Yes. Who will supply? I, Shaddai, Almighty God. I will supply the lamb. How will you ratify the covenant? By the lamb. Who will give the lamb? Not you, Abraham. I will supply. So the difference between the covenant people like Abraham was used to and what God was making is that Abraham will bring something which God will accept as proof that they're in agreement. But God brought everything. Hallelujah. God brought everything. And that's crucial. God brought everything from start to finish. So we saw also last week, I'm not going to take us back to that, Genesis chapter 15, when Abraham fell into a deep sleep, into a trance, and God showed him a burning lamp and a smoking furnace, went through the pieces to show that it is not, Abraham was just asleep in a trance when all this was taking place, which is, you will just watch as God fulfills his part. You will not participate except to enjoy. That's your role. Are you with me this morning? So, pay attention because it's important because Abraham is now God's partner. We invited Abraham, God did. It is the strong to the weak. Come and enjoy my strength. Come and walk in the liberty of my grace. That's the invitation. Praise God. So, now, go with me to Luke chapter 1. All right, let's start now. Okay, have we started before? Okay, you think we've started? Luke chapter 1. In line with that covenant, see what Zechariah prophesied. I'm going to read from verse 6-7. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, notice, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be what? Saved. These are the times of the covenant. We should be saved from one our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Those enemies are not men. But in the days of Abraham, they were men. I mean, even now, we are just now. In the days of David, were they men? In reality, are they really men? Are your enemies men? Okay. So, could they understand fully that they were not really men, their enemies? They couldn't. They were spiritually dead. So, notice. But these are the times. It says, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us to perform the mercy promised to our fathers. It's a mercy. It's something God gives willingly, freely of his own accord. It's called a mercy. The covenant is now called mercy. See? To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his what? Holy covenant. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham that he will grant unto us, notice that we being delivered out of the hand of what? Our enemies, my what? Serve him without fear. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. See what he's talking about. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through what? Death. He might destroy him. The word destroy there is what? To paralyze. To render someone ineffective. That is, you are operating. There is something you are using to operate. Something you are using to execute your operations to render you useless by taking from you what you were using. Whatever made you effective, we take it from you. So you are still existing, but you are now useless. You can't operate the way you used to operate again. Look at what it says. It says that through death, he might destroy him that had the power. That's what dominion of death. That is the devil. That's the enemy he's talking about. Look at next verse. And deliver them. The language of Hebrews is consistent with the promise God made to Abraham because the writer here is talking to Jews. So he says, and deliver them who through what? Fear of death. Where all their what? Lifetime subject to. Please, when you're reading the Bible, read spiritually. Fear of death is not fear of physical death. Fear of death is being afraid everything will go wrong spiritually. Have you seen people who are just afraid almost for no reason? How many of you know? Have you seen, may you not see, amen, tangible fear, and you cannot tell where you're afraid? How do you know fear is like spiritual? Yeah, it is. Your heart is beating fast, and there is necessarily nothing around the environment that you can point to, because fear a lot of times is spiritual. Now, fear of death simply means your fear that things will not work, fear that things may go wrong, fear that spiritually speaking, you don't have a say in the affairs of life. It's the same fear that follows people of they may not receive answers to prayer. If I ask God, will anything happen? It's still part of fear of death. So to deliver from fear of death means to be placed in a place where there is the deliverance that came is such that there's a rock solid conviction in your heart that you are now God's own, and there's nobody God wants to help if not you. Hallelujah. Do you understand? And deliver them who through fear of death all their lifetime. That means they were under Satan's dominion because of sin. So notice, go back to that Luke 1. Which verse are we in now? That we should be safe from our what? Our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us. It's talking about demonic beings. To perform the mercy that was promised. So it was something promised. So what did Abraham hear? God said. That's what Abraham had. God said, I will, I will, I will. That was what Abraham believed. That was the same mindset with which God sent Moses. So let me say it this way. Before Moses came up with the law, it was because of a refusal on the part of the children of Israel to believe the covenant that God gave to Abraham. That's why Moses had to bring up the law. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why did Moses institute sacrifices when Abraham knew that Jehovah will provide himself a lamb? Because the people he was preaching to refused to accept it. Abraham believed, Isaac believed, Jacob believed, Joseph believed. The children of Israel from Egypt, they didn't believe. Moses believed. So he had to institute something temporal. So he began to ask them to do as a lesson what God said he would do. Bring animals, but it's only Jehovah that can bring an animal. It's Jehovah that can offer sacrifice. You can't offer sacrifices. So the law, or what we call the old covenant, was instituted between the time they left Egypt and the wilderness because of their failure to honor their part, which was just believe everything that God has said he would do. That was what your fathers did. Look at Exodus chapter 6. Let's read from verse 1. Are you with me this morning? Praise God. As we peruse the scripture, the aim is to give you a conviction and persuasion so that when it comes to prayer and other things, you function at the frequency God has called you to function in. Say, when I pray, I get results. When I lay hands, I heal the sick. When I speak, deliverance takes place. When I ask for things, things manifest. When I minister, angels perform. You have to understand who you are. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a new creation. Failure is strange to me. Glory to God. Fear is strange to me. I'm alien to fear. I'm alien to failure. I'm alien to defeat. Things work for me supernaturally. God's wisdom is being made manifest in all that I do. Hallelujah. The Lord said, now you will see what I will do unto Pharaoh. For with the stronger shall he let them go, and with the stronger shall he drive them out. And God spoke to say unto him, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac and Jacob by the name Shaddai. But by my name, which Moses was introduced to, I was not known to them. What's your name? I am that I am, and I will be what I will be. He said, Abraham never had me say that. Abraham had me speak, I'm the self-existent one. I'm your sufficiency. I have more than enough to fulfill all that I ask you to do. So when I ask you to do it, I mean I will do it through you. Through you shall all the nations of the heart be blessed. And I'm not even giving you labor. I'm saying you will labor with me. I will supply the ability. You just go ahead because you are a man. It takes men to reach men. So I will use you as a conduit, but it will be me walking. It will be you enjoying. Hallelujah. That was the partnership. Like you, or through you, I'll reach the nations of the earth. That's how I'm going to make myself a father of many nations through you. That was what Abraham had. Now, God is telling Moses, I didn't introduce myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as I am that I am. Who will be what he has said he will be? I simply told them, I'm Shaddai, the self-existent one. And they believed. So in that self-existence, that sufficiency, Abraham knew, since there will be a sacrifice, instead of me bringing sacrifice, God is so sufficient, it will be the one that will bring what? The sacrifice. Abraham knew. So look at what's saying to Moses now. He says, by my name Jehovah, that's Yahweh, I was not known to them. Look at the next verse. So, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and have one remembered. Bible language is wonderful. It's not that they forgot. The word remember means I've taken into consideration what was originally agreed upon. I'm taking that into consideration. When you hear God will not remember, or God remembers, please don't think naturally. Your sins and iniquities, I remember. That's not memory loss. It means I will not call it into I will not take it into consideration. It will not be called to your attention again. That's what it means. Not memory loss. See what it says. I've never come. Wherefore, notice, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage. Notice, I will redeem you with a stretched hand, and with what? Great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you. He's repeating what he said to Abraham. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you. It is something I will do. You cannot be my people by your efforts. You will become my people by my effort. I will do it. I will accomplish it. It's a promise. You shall know when it happens that what? I am the Lord, because I will be what I said I will be. Notice, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Says, and I will bring you into land concerning which I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for what? And every day. Notice emphasis again. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so to the children of Israel. Read the other part. Read it again. No, you are not reading well. No. The previous verse. You didn't finish the B part. Look at the B part. Read it. One more. Thank you. Let me say this. That thing that you just finished reading, I will make you a people to myself. When I do it, I will be your God. When I'm your God, you realize that I'm who I say I am. Is that a promise or a requirement? Is that a promise or a requirement? So when a promise is made, is it faith you need or works? Okay, so whatever was spoken to Abraham is merely repeated to them by Moses. They did not hearken. You see why the law was necessary. They refused to hearken. What Abraham accepted, Isaac accepted, Jacob accepted, they refused it. You know what that means? We're not going to put our faith in God's ability to do these things. Moses had to give them the law. Let me say it again. What happened between the time they left Egypt and the wilderness is called the Old Covenant. The word old doesn't mean it dates back earlier. It simply means something that's not meant to last, something that has been outdated. It doesn't mean something that existed before the other. I'm going to explain the word new. The word new also does not mean it is recent. The word new means fresh, eternal, in nature, never changing. So let me say it this way. The New Testament existed before the Old Testament. Okay, the way you are looking at me. The New Testament is what God spoke to Abraham. What does new mean? God that will never change. What I told you I will do. What is the Old Covenant? It was what Moses introduced when he refused to follow the new. What do we call the new? New means eternal in nature, will not change, will not fail. It is what God had. It is by promise. What is the old? He will do this, I will do this so they can walk. What did Abraham hear? I will do everything. Just believe. Is there a difference? So when we say Old Covenant, I know we're used to, how many of us King James Bible? Are you using King James? Let me see. There are a lot of King James here. Okay, even if you're using NIV, how many of you use NIV? Your salvation is not genuine. So, which other versions do we have now? CSB. You are getting further away from Christ. But here's what I want you. The translators did the demarcation. Genesis to Malachi, they call it what? Old Testament. Then Matthew to Revelation, they call it what? New Testament. That is translators. They are doing their job. What is your job? You're a Bible student. You are a new Christian in Christ Jesus. When Paul will come to his office, Paul will tell you the New Testament is in the hearts of men. It's not on paper. That's what Paul will tell you. It's not on paper, it's where? In the hearts of men. What was the Old Covenant? What was written on stone? How many of you have seen what you've seen on stone before? Have you seen it before? So the Bible in your hand, Genesis Malachi, is not Old Testament because it's not written on stone. What was called Old Testament was written where? On stone. What you have in Genesis Malachi is called the Word of God. Within that word of God, there was an interlude where some people refused to believe. They were given something written on stone because they refused to believe. What was written on stone? God had already told Moses, I will write it in the hearts of people. I will write. You can write. I will write. When I write, I mean, I will give them my exact nature. So when you hear, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, that's not for you to do. That's for God to accomplish. Oh, praise God. Are you with me this morning? Notice the phrase, thou shalt. That's not a requirement for you. When I do what I want to do, when I finish, this is what will happen. You will love me. Say, I love God with all my heart. Please don't go back to reading 10 commandments and say, I want to love God. You are, I don't know what to use now. I almost say you are disturbing the work of Christ. The love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Then you love God. Don't use your reason to reason your way out of it. You know, I was telling we were sharing with some people about eternal salvation, and they put saying, God is one holding on to you, I'm not holding on to him. Say, you can't lose it. Say, can't I wriggle myself out? Evil thought. Just, can you imagine how evil? You want to wriggle out. God is holding you, say, I want to wriggle. Did you wriggle in? We think of spiritual things with a levity that's like, you know, as in, Christ died. I mean, the blood of God was shed. And you are thinking of something you can just play with. You know, you are saying, you are carrying salvation in your pocket. I lost my salvation yesterday. I don't understand what you mean. Jesus is seated, able to save to the uttermost those who came to God by his sacrifice. And you are thinking you can just lose it on the way, you know. And that movie, watched that time. You lied. You can't make heaven. Yeah. Join the queue. Noah can't. Abraham never did. Not even Abel can make it. Jacob, he's wearing prison clothes. Because he was called a liar and a cheat. No. Let God be true. Let God be true. Let God be true. And the experiences of men, a lie. What was the partnership? We've been saved from our enemies. Out of the hands of all that hate us. My serving without fear all the days of our lives. So when Jesus was telling them, go into order and preach. Lo, I am with you. The partnership is what I've done in you, I will do through you to others. That was what Abraham had. That's a partnership. And when you are doing it, you're not even the one doing it. You open your mouth, I will feel it. I've given you my spirit. When you stretch forth your hands, it's my hands. The I am is now with you. So as I'm going, we're going together. It's an eternal partnership. He is the one who saves men. I'm the one who speaks. But we are together forever. It's a partnership. That's what Abraham had. So never think when you are preaching the gospel that God is watching you. He's marking the script. How did you pronounce what did you tell them? No, you are together. You are winning souls together. You are pursuing heaven's agenda. Genesis 1:20 is being fulfilled. Man is being made now in the image of God. How? As the gospel is preached and men are believing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I'm in partnership with God. Through Christ Jesus, I have his spirit living in me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. My prayers are always answered. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So notice the explanation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. See what it says now. Look at the illustration. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle or the writing of Christ ministered by us, or you came into existence through the preaching of the gospel that came through us. That's what he's saying. So now you're like a letter. People can read you and see what Christ has done. That's what Paul is saying. He says, written not with ink, is making a comparison. What happened on Sinai and what happened in Christ. What a difference. Written not with ink, but what? With the spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but where? In fleshly tables of the heart. Put your hand there. Go to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Or Hebrews chapter 8, look at verse 8. Let's start from verse 8. Don't say, okay, is it verse 8? I can't jump like that. Let's start from verse 6, please. Sorry. I don't want to jump like that. So, but now, as he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is a mediator of what? A better covenant, which was established upon what? Better or more lasting promises. Now, lasting there means something that will continue without interruption. That means the activity of men cannot interrupt what God has set in motion. The old covenant, whatever Moses had written on the table of stone was constantly interrupted because of the failures of those who were practicing it. But the better simply means superior. That which cannot be interrupted because of your activities continues because it is the perfection of God given to men. Let me see what it says again. It says, by how much also is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon one better promise. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, or the law which was given, found fault with the people, behold, the days come, said the Lord. Now, pay attention about saying now. This is important. Because again, we are reading in English, but we're using interpretation now to explain what is the writer trying to say. No other writer spoke this way because this person has a largely Jewish audience. So he's using the language of the Jews to explain the scriptures to them. See what it says? The days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And the minute you read this in English, here's what you are hearing. That one that Moses made is not good, so I will make another one. It's not another one. The word new here is the word renew. To renew. I'll renew what I said before it was interrupted. Let me put it this way. See what it says again. With the house of Judah. Look at the next verse. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I what? I regarded them not. I don't know why King James used that phrase. Because the word to regard not in English means something else entirely from what he's saying. He said, I regarded them not. I did not focus my attention on their failures, is what he said. That's actually what that word means. I did not focus on their failures. They refused to work with me. In other words, when I came to Egypt, what I told Abraham, I came to fulfill when I came to Egypt. Guess what? They did not agree with me. So the partnership failed in Egypt. That's why I sent you to renew what I said to Abraham. To renew it. Because when I came to Egypt to take them out, guess what? He failed. How did he fail? On their part. They did not allow me to continue. In other words, God wanted to do some things through Abraham. Abraham believed. When he got to the turn of those in Egypt, they refused. And because they refused, Moses gave them something temporal without canceling what God said he would do. So every time God came on the scene, he will come and what? Refresh and what? Renew what he initially said. Because what was the problem with the people? Their minds were hardened. And it requires believing for what God has said to come to pass. So he said, finding fault with them, he said, it's not according to the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them, because they did not go on with me. They didn't continue, and I refused to focus on their faults. Look at the next verse. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will what? Put my laws where? In their minds. I will write them where? In their hearts. I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a... So notice the role of the people is in the last portion of that verse. I will write. I will put... It is after I've done that, they will become my work. So who is going to do the work? You or God? You or God? Okay, go to Jeremiah 31. We'll soon round up now. Jeremiah 31. So this is the original text now. This man is quoting from Jeremiah 31. Look at Jeremiah 31. And verse 31. Look at the language used. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, I will make a new covenant. That's the word renew. I will renew my covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers indeed, that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So there was an exodus. Listen carefully. We have stories in the Old Testament as types and shadows of the new. So God went to them for an exodus. What was that exodus meant to point to? Red Sea, Pharaoh, they were all figures of speech to symbolize the real enemies, sin, Satan, death. So when Christ shed his blood, or let me put it this way, when Jesus came to his disciples at the Passover, and he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. What did the disciples hear Jesus saying? There's about to be another Passover and another what? Exodus. This time around, you are not living in physical Egypt. You are living the spiritual Egypt of sin and Satan's dominion. You are stepping into the promised land, which is the kingdom of God. Okay, I said a lot now. I will explain as we go on. How many of us understand so far? Thank you. So, can you see why the bread and the cup cannot be bread and cup? Cannot be bread and wine. Cannot be Bacchus Bacchus. Amen. It cannot be. It obviously cannot be, because that can't deliver anybody. Otherwise, tasty time has been living people for a long time. It can't be tasty time. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission. The remission is deliverance from Egypt or from sin and Satan's dominion, isn't it? Now, so when God wanted to do what he told Abraham to do, when he got to Egypt, that partnership, which is, you will be to me a kingdom of priests, he failed because they refused to continue. So Moses brought in law, but Moses first preached what? Faith. Praise God. So before you blame Moses, Moses tried. You know what it means to lead 3 million stiff-necked people? I don't know. That word stiff-necked is always graphic in my mind. When I heard that day, somebody woke up in the morning and neck like this. Look here. Just look here. We just refuse to. That's how we have been doing this in all this way. Abraham has what's your own? Walk with God. He will do everything. I mean, I read some passages. I was almost filled with unbelief. God told Abraham, Moses said, go and tell them that tomorrow I'll appear to them. Not just to you now, I've appeared. I want to appear to all of them. Tell them to cleanse themselves. For the next 3 years, I'll appear to them. Then God came. He appeared and he spoke. They all heard God's voice. I was shocked. The next response. The next day, they told Moses, we have seen. It's possible. For God to speak to a man, man will live. Nevertheless. In case that was a coincidence, don't let him speak again. You go and hear. Whatever he says, come and tell us. So they were the ones who created Aaron's priesthood ministry. Somebody between them and God. Abraham never needed anybody between him and God. Isaac never. They were the ones who created it. Moses, you see, it's like you and this fire thing. You go and be telling, yeah, whatever I want to say. That you here, come and tell us. You just told us you have seen that God can speak to a man, the man will know that. You have said it now. You have seen it now. But you say, unbelief is a terrible thing. Hardness of heart. You have experienced it. You say, but nevertheless, you will be going. You should not speak to us again. We don't want to hear that voice. Whatever I want to say, tell you, then tell you, and then you come and tell us. Galatians chapter 3. Let's read from verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, that is, that was confirmed to Abraham long before there was ever the law. When the law came 430 years after, the law could not change or make that promise fail. It couldn't affect the promise that God had already made. So when the law came, it couldn't cancel the promise. Look at the next verse. It says, for if the inheritance, what was promised, if it came by the law, then you cannot call it a promise. But when God gave it to Abraham, it was according to what? Promise. God said, I will do it. Don't worry. That means my abilities are at stake. So look at the next verse. Wherefore then, what's the purpose of the law? It was added because of what? Transgression. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by what? Angels in the hand of a... Who is the mediator? Who was the mediator? Thank you. Look at the next verse. Here's where we're going. Now, a mediator is never a mediator of one, but God is one. So we'll continue from there next week, but here's what I want you to see. Paul is carefully dismantling the law intelligently, and he says, you know what? When Moses came on the scene, the law was handed over through Moses with the operation of angels. So Moses now became a mediator between God and men. He said, but when God came on the scene to Abraham, God did not need a mediator. Because a mediator is not between two parties. He says, but God came by himself to make the promise. As one who fulfilled himself, he did not need a go-between. And without a go-between, all you need is faith. So in other words, it's not that somebody will hold God and will hold man. No. God held himself and gave himself to man as a gift. In salvation, God came and gave himself to you as a gift. I will never fail you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When you pray, I will answer. Wherever you are, I will help you. I will come to your aid. I heard a story years ago that shook me. It was a story of what happened during the slave trade. And in those days when they used to sell people as slaves, and it's very interesting that even in those days they had scriptures to justify what they were doing. The Lord help us. So there was this woman and a child. And when they got to the auction block, she was hoping that she'll be sold to the same person as her daughter. They didn't want to be separated. When they got there, the slave dealers separated them. The woman wept, begged, appealed to them. They didn't listen to her. While that was going on, there was a very small boy there with his dad who came to purchase slaves. So the boy saw what was happening to the woman and the child. As they took the child away to be sold to somebody else, it wasn't about using the name of Jesus. The woman just prayed a single prayer. He said, God, I need your help now. If it's true that you are alive, help me now. if it is you that needs my help, I will help you. Help me now. The boy just stood up from where he was sitting, went to the dad, and pointed at the dad and said, Daddy, I want you to buy that girl. The father paid for the girl. The boy took the girl and took it back to the mother. God answered. God understood the language. God answered. You see, there's some things that are difficult to expect rewards. That word was not ordinary. It came from that woman's heart. That where I am right now, if you were the one that needs help, I will help you. And she wasn't lying. She would do anything. You are the one that can help now. Help me. And God had immediately. God has done more than that for you. He gave you his son. He that did not withhold his son, but divine one for us all. How shall he not with him what? Freely. Say freely. He has freely given us all things. Never be afraid to pray. God swore he will self-destruct if he doesn't fulfill what he has said. That's what is backing what we have in Christ Jesus. Please stop looking to yourself. Stop counting the hours you have prayed. Stop counting on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness is not consistent. We both know. But his faithfulness is everlasting. He has an unfailing track record. Lift your hands this morning and thank him. And whatever area you need help, ask him now. Whatever area you need help, ask him now. He's the Shaddai, the one who is self-sufficient, the one that answers prayer. And guess what? He answered speedily. Speedily. Whether it's been a difficulty, a miracle, something you need divine intervention for now. He answers prayer. Oh, he answers. He's the rescuer that never needs to be rescued. The helper that needs no help. The one that comes to our aid in the most difficult situations. And no matter how much we have messed up, when we call upon him, he always answers. The one that gives beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is our God. This is our Father. Be confident in the days that you are in now. You are living in those days of heaven and earth. Be confident of who you are and what he has done. Be confident of his provision. Be confident of his abiding presence. Be confident because before you call, answers are waiting in him. Before you call. Your call doesn't make answers come. Your call is to take hold of the answers as a Shaddai that he has provided already. Give him thanks this morning. Even as you pray, give him thanks this morning. Pray in faith, believing. Pray in faith, believing. Trusting. He comes true. He never fails his own. He always comes true. Even when we are the ones who messed up, he's always there. He abides faithful. He can't deny himself. Father, we're so grateful and thankful that we have that which is eternal in you. Something that's an eternal comfort that gives us confidence. We bless your name. We rejoice in your faithfulness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name.